We continue to worship this morning through the reading and preaching and hearing of God's Word. I want to encourage you to open your copy of the Bible, the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. If you hit Samuel and the Kings, you've gone too far. It's a four-chapter book nestled in the heart of the Old Testament. We've been in it a few weeks now. There's a few more weeks to go. But we have found Ruth and Naomi back in Bethlehem. And Ruth searching for provision and protection. She has gone into the fields to try to find food, because neither one of them had jobs. That's where we pick up Ruth chapter 2. I'll begin reading in verse 8. We'll read through the end of the chapter. Before we turn to the reading of God's word, let's go to him in prayer. Please bow with me. God in heaven, we affirm again today together that your word is true in all its parts. It is indeed inerrant. We believe it to be inspired by you and preserved by you for us to this very day. We believe that by your word you light our path, you grant wisdom, and you bring reality and these present days into focus. But we need your help in order for that to happen. In order for us to see what you have for us through your word, we need your spirit to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. So we ask you to help us. Come, Lord Jesus, and shepherd your flock, lead and guide and protect, correct and convict as you see fit. You are our King. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to whom we willingly and humbly bow. We pray for those who are not here with us this morning to receive in real time and space what we will receive through this hour of worship. We know that many are dealing with surgery or sickness, disease, or are close to death. So, Lord, we pray for them. We ask you to pour your mercy out in their lives through these difficult trials and circumstances. We pray that you would be present with them and help them to know that you love them and care for them and are with them even through the valley of the shadow of death. We pray for those in our midst who are dealing with all kinds of sin and its consequences, all kinds of hurt that they have brought upon themselves or that others have brought into their lives. Lord, you know us. Our lives before you are laid bare. And so we bow and ask you to help us. We pray for those who are weak and in need of your care. We know that you bind up the brokenhearted. We know that you apply the balm of Gilead to those who are injured. And so we ask you to do that. For our good, for your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. This is the word of the Lord. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? When you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also, pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it and went up into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law, with whom she had worked, and said, The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, The man is a close relative of ours. One of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, Besides, he said to me, You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. So you don't have an insert in your order of service this morning because the printer won round three. It will not win the war, but it got the best of me and my printer at home this weekend. But nonetheless, we have 3 points as we look this morning at these verses 8 through 23 that I've titled The Favor of Boaz. We see Ruth and Naomi enjoying the favor of this benevolent, worthy, wealthy, generous, kind man. So we'll look at grace received, grace understood, and grace reported. First, grace received. Very simply, it's clear what's happening. God has ordained the steps of this woman. And he has brought the owner of the field, Boaz, out to look at the field while Ruth just so happens to be there gleaning. We talked last week about how she was taking advantage of a law in Israel that God put among his people to care for those who were down and out. This was not a glamorous job that Ruth was practicing. She was basically What I said last week is she's basically picking up cans and taking them to the recycle place for a couple of cents each. It's not a lot of money, but it's something. It's something that she can use and survive on. Something that hopefully her and Naomi can subsist on, at least for a short time. But God has much bigger things. So as we think about the grace that Ruth is getting ready to receive, as she is finding favor in Boaz's sight, I want us to realize that though it's a lot like what we receive in the gospel, it's not exactly like what we receive in the gospel. And though Boaz has a lot of characteristics, as he foreshadows the coming of the person and work of Jesus Christ, he's not perfect himself. But nonetheless, she wonders, why are you letting me continue to do this? And why are you being kind to me in this way? And he looks at her and he says, I've checked up on you. Everything that you have done for Naomi, I've heard about. I've heard about how you left everything that was familiar to you, how you left your father and your mother and your gods in Moab, and you came to Israel with Naomi. You protected her and supported her by your presence and your loyalty. I have seen that, and it's all been fully reported to me. And so I want to make sure that you know that the God of Israel looks with favor upon his people. Now, how is this like the gospel and what we receive in Jesus Christ? Through circumstances that we could never predict or orchestrate in our lives, in real time, in space, and your story is no different than mine, although it sounds very unique. God worked through people and through churches and through ministries to bring you to a place where you understood that you needed forgiveness from God because of the sins that you had committed against him. And you were also introduced to a redeemer, one who would willingly pay the debt that you owed in your place. He would give you more than you ever deserved, and he would provide for you and protect for you in ways that you cannot imagine and still you cannot fully see. That's the gospel. And friends, if you're here this morning and you've never come to Jesus Christ in faith and poured out your heart to him, saying, look, this is the mess I've made of my life. This is the way that I have ruined relationship and parenting and all kinds of things at work. Would you please forgive me? I realize that I've sinned against you and I need forgiveness and I need you to take over the reins of my life, because if it's up to me, I'm going to wreck it completely and wholly. If you've never done that today, then hear the gospel from Ruth chapter 2. Grace that is received by Ruth can be received by you if you would repent and believe. But you also have to see that what we see here and what was reported about Ruth to Boaz and what he explained, that's why I've shown you favor, that can be misleading in the gospel. I heard one time at a men's gathering like the one we're going to have in November on the 12th, a man stand up and say, you know, I got invited here and I'm thankful to be here, but I don't feel worthy to be here. I've made a mess of things in my life. And once I get that straightened out, then I want to come and I want to be like what I see here. I want to come and be a part of this particular church, and I want to live like y'all are living. But I'm not there yet. And a wise elder stood up and said, my friend, you're welcome here. But what you've just described shows me that you have no understanding of the gospel whatsoever. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not, let me get myself straight, and then I want to come and live among you. The gospel of Jesus Christ says, he makes you straight. He has already accomplished everything for you. You don't have to worry about being here this morning and wondering what people know about you. Because the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, we're all worried about what people know about us. And we're not thinking about what we know about you. Because we know our life is only okay because of what we believe about Jesus. He has accomplished fully all that is necessary for our forgiveness. And he cleans us up completely and wholly. It is not our work. But when he does that, the joy and the gratitude that's in our hearts is so overwhelming that we desire to obey him. We want to learn about being conformed into his image. So the wise elder said to that man, look, Jesus can clean you up tonight. You don't have to do that. You just need to repent and believe him. And you're welcome here with all your warts and bruises and all of the spills that you've made. Jesus is more than ready to receive you. He said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That is Jesus Christ. And we see him clearly here in Boaz. And not only in his offer of the gospel, the grace that Ruth receives is not just forgiveness, not just food and sustenance, but it was protection as well. Remember what he said. I have commanded my young men not to touch you. So if you're thirsty, they've drawn water, you can go and drink it. And don't look at any other fields around you. These fields are for you. Here is where you will be blessed, and I will make sure of it. So Boaz is not only a provider for Ruth, but he also shows some of the kingly office of Jesus Christ to Ruth and to Naomi. How does Jesus act as our king in our lives? Well, he rules over us, okay? He gives us his commands that he desires us to follow. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands, and it's really not a burden. But he also, not only does he rule over us, but part of that kingly office that he holds in our lives is he defends us. He protects us. Ladies, in a culture where right now it seems like we are bombarded with news article after news article and report after report about how women are not protected, I want you to hear this. Jesus Christ will always and only be your perfect protector. He will defend you against the what we see here, the young men. But the young men are not your only enemy. And I'm not only speaking to women. Brothers and sisters, we have enemies all around us. Enemies that want to have their way in our lives. And by God's grace, through his son, the King of Kings, one of the ways he defends us against our enemies, he brings us into his courts and he uses his word to highlight those enemies to our minds and hearts so that we would stay away from them, so that we wouldn't wander into their fields. He uses these times together in corporate worship around his word to protect us like that. Don't go there. It's not good for you. You aren't safe there. It will cost you. And in doing these types of things by His Spirit through His Word, He is your King. He is guarding you. He is sending His angels concerning you because you are His and you are precious to Him. Jesus is our defender. One of those enemies we see right here, and this is not a sidebar, this is not a topical issue in this particular passage, it's right here. The second point I want us to look at is not only grace received, but grace understood. Ruth sees what's happening, and she doesn't really understand it completely. Verse 10, she says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Since I'm a foreigner, why? Why would you do this? You know what we see here? We see that way back in Israel in this day, in the time of the judges, the reality that was there was division between peoples of different nations. Even though I read from Psalm 117 for our call to worship, where, very clearly we see God's plan is for all peoples. Verse 1, praise the Lord, all nations, not just Israel. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. And yet we live in a land that is starkly divided by race and culture and class. And it is not of God. We celebrate 93 years. But if we were to rewind the clock 93 years in our land, we would see Christians taking Scripture out of context as an argument why men and women should be kept separate because of the color of their skin. You can't eat here. You can't drink from this fountain. You can't go to this school. And the residue of that still exists today in our community and in our culture and in our hearts. And it's not just from one side, white to black or black to white or white to Asian or Asian to Indian. This is a problem at every level. Ruth feels it. Why are you being nice to me? I'm a foreigner. I'm not like you. We're not the same. And some people have taken Deuteronomy 7 and God's command for His people to take possession of the land. And He says this, and clear away many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and mightier than you. But He did that not because He wanted all people to be separate, not because He wanted Israel to somehow proliferate and continue this, what they might call holy racism, but because He wanted them to be unique and special God-fearers. And now what has happened in Ruth and in her life is that Ruth has become a God-fearer. And what we see played out further on in the New Testament is that Jesus Christ has broken down every dividing wall. Colossians 3 says that there is neither barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, neither male nor female, but Christ is all and is in all. For too long, we have allowed what the news tells us and what's happening in our particular country that is so minute on the grand scale of God's kingdom and all the earth for all time. Let me just help you see that. I love America, and I am a patriot, and I believe in the red, white, and blue, but it is so minute compared to the kingdom of God. And we have taken God's word and twisted it in this land and made it say what it doesn't say. Deuteronomy 7 was never meant to exclude me from marrying an African American who loves Jesus with all her heart, or an Asian who loves Jesus with all our heart. Nor should we put those parameters on our children. And I know what we say. Oh, but they'll experience difficulty in our culture. Their children will be looked at wrongly. There is no place for that in the kingdom of God. And if you think that and use that argument, then woe be unto you. Because Christ is all, and he is in all who call him Lord. So Ruth says, how can this be? And Boaz says, because I know where your heart is. I've heard about how that's been demonstrated in your life. So, young ladies and young men, there's a lot to be concerned with who you should marry and who you shouldn't marry. But the chiefest is, do they love Jesus Christ with all their heart? If they do, then they are a candidate. They are a candidate for you. And if they don't, if there's no evidence of love for Christ in their hearts, then they are off limits for you. That's what that means. That's unequally yoked. If you haven't ever heard them say the name of Jesus, and you've been out with them for months, they're probably not for you. And that is it's a low bar, but it's the main one. But just because they do doesn't mean they're for you either. That's why you have parents. Did y'all hear that? Grace received, grace understood. Ruth is like, wow. Here is grace that extends beyond race. Here is grace that extends beyond social class. Here is grace that unites. Wow. Lastly, can you imagine how excited, she can't text what's happening right now on this day in this conversation with Boaz. She can't let Naomi know. She's like, wow, I can't wait to get home to Naomi. I can't wait to go back to Mara, to Bitter, and to tell her all that God has done today. I can't wait to report about God's favor toward us. She comes in and she's got like bags of food in her hands. and wheat and barley underneath her arms. And Naomi is sitting there. She's amazed. Verse 19, she says, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? And blessed be the man who took notice of you." You see how quickly Naomi, in the pit of despair, recognizes the favor of God and the grace of God poured out toward Ruth. She was like, "Don't call me blessed. Don't call me peaceful. Don't call me pleasant. I'm bitter." And then later that afternoon, or excuse me, a day or two later, after Ruth shows up after this amazing day, she's like, "Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And they have this conversation, and they're like two ladies who are so excited. They can't believe what's happened. Who is it? Who did it? Ruth says, "His name is Boaz." Naomi says, "He's one of our redeemers. He's related to us. He's one of our kinsmen redeemers." Ruth said, "Wait, there's more. I ate with him. This is what I had left over from lunch. I worked until dark, and he told me that I could come back and keep coming back. He told me that he would protect me and give me water. He told me that I could fall in with those who worked for him. And I can't help but think that Naomi is now in a place where she never expected to be, and it happened just like that, because that's how grace works. I don't think that she was not believing. I don't think that she was far from worshiping God. I just think that she was in a place of despair that sometimes God's people can get. But when God, in his grace toward her, showed himself to her, she realized there's hope. And some of you need to see that Naomi saw. Some of you need to see that today. You need to recognize God's favor in the lives of those around you and in your life. And you need to see, while there is hope, that in spite of these circumstances, there is joy, there is peace, there is opportunity. Because now you're in the field of your kinsman redeemer, your king, your Lord, and he loves you. And he wants your very best. And he reminds you of that today. Because he's good, and he takes care of his people. And he will do that not only today, but this week. He will show himself to you again and again and again. If you would hear his voice, believe him, and give more of yourself over to him. Let's pray together. God in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use it for our encouragement and good. Straighten us and strengthen us according to your mercy. Grow us and teach us, we ask. Develop in us a heart of gratitude and willingness to hold to your commands. I pray for my friends who are like Ruth this morning, and they have lived in a culture that has separated for too long. Lord, would you show them your favor and how you bring unity and love? I pray for my friends this morning who are like Naomi, who are in the pit of despair and who are feeling hopeless and joyless. Would you show them your grace toward them? Show them joy in the lives of others, that they would be able to rejoice again. Help them to see that your provision is real and your presence is true and your word is a light and a lamp for us. And I pray that you would give them peace and that you would pull them from the muck and the mire and set their feet upon you, their Lord.
We pray this for your glory and in Christ's name.